The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Irish Racing Preview. We're going to look ahead to today's action in Thurles. A pretty good card to look forward to with a Grade 2 novice hurdle, the feature race on their card. My name is Mark Walton and I'm joined on the line once again by Irish Racing expert Andy Holding. How are you, Andy?
I'm all right, actually, then. Mark, yeah.
Yeah?
Pretty good.
Good stuff. Are you getting excited for the festival? We're less than 2 weeks away now.
Yeah. It's all balling up nicely now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just hope we don't get any more late defectors. One or two shocks, obviously, Q-Card and several other big names might go missing. But most of the races now have taken shape. The betting's all sorted. All the handicap weights are out. They're all there, aren't they? It's just finding them, which is a key.
Yeah. Which is easier said than done normally. But are there any Irish runners or anything that we'll have seen in Ireland in the handicaps that's particularly well in, do you think, at the moment?
Yeah, I was in the other week, wasn't I? And I mentioned one or two in the Fred Winter, which caught the eye.
Yeah.
Sea Beaten Powderhound out of that race at Navan a couple of Saturdays ago. We're quite eye-catching on the figures. And interesting, on page four today, the dark horse that Gaia does, the Irish dark horses, has picked those two out as well.
Right, OK.
Tony O'Hare, chief Irish correspondent. Johnny Ward has also picked out Powderhound. So those two guys are on the same wavelength as me. And those two, out of all the Irish horses, I think have been totally missed by the handicapper. He's really taken revenge on horses like Jadargo and Noble Inn, who've been running... And Claire Cam, horses have been running in graded races, but unfortunately they've got their they've shown their hand almost, if you like, and the handicap has given them over 135, all of them. So for these two to get under 125 means that they are A, very handicapped, but B, maybe subject of not actually getting into the race. They could have almost been too cute, their respective handlers. I think they're about number 40 odd on the card, so they need plenty to drop out. Chances are they probably will, because a lot of the horses in top end of the ways will have to be forced to go to the Triumph. But yeah, those are the two that I've had my eye on for quite a while in the Fred Winter. I'm just desperate for them to get a run now, because I've backed them both at big prices.
Okay, Sea Beat and Powderhound, then a couple to look out for in the handicaps. Hopefully they'll get in there then. And let's talk about Thurles and Andy, because we've got a card on the heavy ground today at Thurles, seven races, a few short price favourites and odds on favourites. So have you found some to take them on?
Yeah, there's a couple of dodgy ones. I think we know pretty much what Cadsby's all about now. He's always looked a little bit vulnerable in his career overall. He doesn't win very often, does he? He hasn't won for quite a while. Some of them do look unbeatable. But yeah, I'll come with a couple of value bets in between, so perhaps spice it up a bit.
Okay, good stuff. Let's get stuck into the action then. The first race is the 2.25 and we begin with a mare's beginner's chase over 2.25 miles, and the betting is headed by Way Up in the Air this morning, who's 9-4. Kiltylan Rose is also quite prominent in the betting, 11-4, and a little bit of a nibble from 3-1 for that one. It's then 8-1 or bigger price as the rest, so we kind of think it's between those two in the betting. Andy, do you agree with that?
I think this is the worst price favourite on the card, Way Up in the Air. I wouldn't back this horse with counterfeit money. I just think the horse is really struggling for form, confidence, whatever you want to call it. Robert Tyner just hasn't been able to get his finger on the problem with this horse. I mean, she was a good horse last year, but since she's gone over fences, she's looked diabolical, to be honest. I mean, she didn't find much for pressure that day when she was beaten at Punchestown. She was slaughtered the day I tipped her in that Grade 3 at Cork, and then she was pulled up in the good race at Leopardstown over hurdles. I mean, she's just not a horse I'm massively in love with. She barely gets the trip. The ground's going to be testing. She's going to be tested as well, because there are going to be plenty of these in this race going along at a good gallop, including one of my selections, Killalter Lane Rose. So I'm going to put a massive fork in Way Up in the Air and get on to Killalter Lane Rose, one of the horses I think will go well here. Bill Harney's 9-year-old mare has run a couple of excellent races, both at this track as well. And that's massively important. Thurles, very much a specialist track. And, you know, a fourth and second here on the last two, you know, return quite good. I know she hasn't run in 23 starts, but she's certainly got plenty of ability. And I would imagine she'll go from the front. She just didn't quite get the trip last time out of a 2.6. 2 mile two, she'll be absolutely ideal. So she's my number one choice. There's a good one this morning for a horse called Rory Anna. Now, I'm going to alert podcasters in the direction of this horse, not largely due to the fact that it's got a lot of duck eggs and it's been off the track for 161 days, but it's got the hood and the tongue turn for the first time. It's now with Michael Winters. We know what Michael Winters can do, of course, hero of the Galway Hurdle this year and many other big races, including Rebel Fitz, of course, who has been a stable star for many years. Top conditional book, Jodie McGarvey. You've got a feeling that if there's money for this horse, and I think judging by the activity on Oddschecker this morning there is, we can expect a massive run from Rory Anna. So do keep an eye on that one as well. But Kilter Lane Rose, with a form around the track already cast in stone, I'll take her to beat the rather weak-looking favourite way up in the air.
Okay, Kilter Lane Rose and in the 2.25. And just to add to that, what you were saying about Rory Anna Andy is what I'm trying to say. 8-1 into 5-1 in the last 10 minutes or so, yeah, with us. So somebody's
surprised me.
Yeah, somebody's
surprised me. Yeah, that stable is very, very adept at landing touches, and it doesn't take a genius to work out that we're going to expect a big run first time up after a long layoff from New Yard.
Okay, on to the second race next, and this is at 2.55, and this is a rated race over 2 miles and two furlongs, and Rupert Lamb heads the betting for this one at 10-11. It's 9-4 for competitive edge, and he's been backed from 11-4. It's 8-1 for Lambro. Letter of credit is also 8s, and 9-1 for Sweeney Tunes. Rupert Lamb at the top of the betting, Andy, he seems to be either very good or very bad. He's a bit of an enigma, isn't he? How do you see him running in this?
Well, it's his jumping that lets him down, isn't it, Mark? I mean, in between those runs, he's excellent. He goes really well in small fields. He's probably better going left-handed, and his form figures tell you that. His five career wins have all been going anti-clockwise. When he's gone clockwise, he's rather come unstuck, and that's where two of his falls have happened. Whether he just gets on the wrong leg or he loses a bit of confidence over his fence, I don't know. But he was in an innocuous fall the other day. He was here at Thurles. So that's got to be slightly worrying. And it was at that notorious four flash right at the top of the hill. Loads of horses fall at those third and fourth last respectively. I just think they come at funny angles here at Thurles, and there's perhaps not much room for manoeuvre. And better horse than Rupert Lamb at the deck by no means. And he was going really well at the time, and you probably could name him the winner, even though it was like four out. He seemed to be going much better than Tony Duderes, who was the eventual winner, and indeed the runner-up letter of credit, who at least gave Gordon Elliott's charge something to think about from 2 hours to the line. So it's basically Rupert Lamb's to lose. We know that. We know he's got the ability. It's just whether you want to take 10-11 and jump in a clear round. If he does, then I think he'll win. The most likely beneficiary probably would be competitive edge on all-known form. He was a good second last time out in a hot and a competitive race at Fairy House, won by Lionel Burney. Lionel Burney's just a very hard horse to pass at his beloved Fairy House, and he stays well. And competitive edge stamina to get by that horse just didn't stand the test. But prior to that, he'd run well beyond Turban. So he's run a couple of really nice races, and he's one for the more speculative if you don't want to take the short odds. The probability is that Rupert Lamb, you know, probably will jump round and win this time. And because it's very difficult to get away from Willie Mullins, Ruby Walsh, the time you do and you're always opposed, and they end up biting your backside and proving you wrong. So I'm going to stick with Rupert Lamb, but it, obviously, with his two falls in his last five starts, it wouldn't be the utmost confidence.
Okay. Moving on to the 3.25 next. This is a beginner's chase over 3 miles. And whilst you say there, it's usually hard to take on Willie Mullins and Ruby Walsh. It might be a little bit easier in this race because Cad Speed heads the betting at 13-8, which I personally think is a bit short because he's aiming to make it 15th time lucky over fences. He hasn't won yet. He's 11-year-old and he hasn't won for nearly 4 years. All his wins came over 2 miles and he's run over 3 miles this afternoon. At 13-8, I'm quite happy to I would be quite happy to pass him over, Andy, but you know more about this than me. What are your thoughts on the 3.25?
No, I think you've summarised it pretty well. That's what I wrote down in my notes. 3 miles, a question mark. The fact that he's been a long time between drinks, 4 years without a win, albeit he's running some very good races and done some fast times. I mean, his best run this season when he was third behind Ned Buntline and Irish Thistle. Both of those horses have subsequently won. And to be fair, he's in the process of running a big race. The last time we saw him in a very competitive race at Leopardstown, he was in front and he blundered badly halfway down the back straight when still going particularly strongly. So the jury's very much out with him. And at 13-8, as you say, I don't think he's great value at that price. I'm not saying he can't win. Of course, that would be silly to say that because it's a weak race. But, you know, you go skint back in 13-8 chances like him on a regular basis. And with the sort of nine runners and the shape of this race, absolutely perfect, sorry, eight runners. I'll probably go with Trucking All Night from an each-way perspective. Thought James Mangan's charge was given a bit of a sighter here first time out in a hot race, which was good on the speed figures. Basically, a three-mile horse never had any chance of being competitive over 2 miles when they went to such a gallop. And he was just hunted round the back door by Patrick Mangan with a view perhaps to stepping him up in trip. And that's what they've done. They've brought him back to the track where he's had his debut. He's got some good form over hurdles Ash here, including a win at Clonmel over 3 miles today's distance. So there's plenty to like about Trucking All Night from an each-way perspective. 5-1. Let's go with him.
OK. On to the 4.05, and this is the feature race this afternoon. This is the Michael Purcell Memorial Novices Hurdle. It's a grade 2 over 2.5 miles, and Urano heads the betting this morning at 11-10. It's 5-2 for Gallant Tip. Band of Blood is 7-1, 8-1 for Giant of a Man and the Pounds, and then 11-1 for Horrendous Hullabaloo and 40-1 for Draycott Place. So Urano heads the betting, and he improved quite markedly for the step up in trip last time. It seems that he was running over the wrong trip to start with, but up into grade 2 company this afternoon, and he was quite expensive to follow before that. What do you make of him at the top of the betting?
Well, let's start off by saying this is a really weak grade 2. It's a grade 2 in all but name, and none of these are grade 2 horses. Even though Urano, he's gone from winning a maiden hurdle where 10 of the representatives out of that race have run since and not one of them hit the board. So it just tells you how bad that race was he won here the last day. He couldn't basically fail in that on that occasion. You know, horses like Fair Funny and Size and Cole, you know, are fairly average horses, and he probably would have won the time before, but again, you know, it's not massively great form. Thunder and Rose has been beat off handicaps in the mid 120s, and Oscar Fian got thrashed the other day in a handicap as well. So albeit he's from Willie Mullins and he has a sexy profile to a degree, I'm just not convinced about his overall form deserves him to be 11-10 here. That said, he hasn't got a very, very strong lineup to beat. So it's 6-1, half a dozen the other. Gallant Tip, he won here two starts back, so at least he knows he stays well. And he beat Perfect Gentleman, who floored Indian Fire the other day at Clonmel. Not sure what happened to him last time out. He's probably just caught out when he was up in company behind Shore Reef at Leopardstown. So he's not one to write off lightly. And there's one in this race which I do think is overpriced, which I'm prepared to go with. It's a bit like Real Steel Bet the other day at the one I put up at Navan. I do think this horse is underestimated here, and that's the Pounds. Now, this horse comes out quite well on the speed figures, having run on the same day that Urano won over 2.6 miles. This horse won a 2 mile maiden hurdle, beating Kerry Anvik. Now, my circuit times suggest that the Pounds ran much, much quicker than Urano did on the last circuit there. There's almost like a 15-20 length difference between them. So I do think the Pounds has definitely got enough quality here to shake up the favourite. He was in the process of going to run a big race at Ferry House next time out over 2 mile 4, and unfortunately he fell at the third last when he was still going quite easily. Had he stayed on his feet, I'm sure he would have been competitive there, and he'd obviously arrive here in with a much better chance than his form figures suggest. So at 8-1, let's go with the Pounds here to cause a bit of a shock.
Okay, the Pounds to pay off then in the 4.05. And on to the 4.35 next. This is a maiden hurdle over 2 miles, and an odds-on favourite, another odds-on Willie Mullins trained individual. This time it's She's a Foxy Lady. She's 4-11 at the time of recording, and she's done quite a rare feat by winning three bumpers. Not many horses can win three bumpers, and she makes a hurdling debut in what's not really the strongest of maiden hurdles. Andy, do you think she'll get off the mark at the first time of asking?
Yeah, I try to find an each-way angling on this race and look for something perhaps at a bigger price and try and be cute and put it up you know, from a place perspective. But I couldn't really solidly and wholeheartedly say, well, this is the one we should back. Every time I came to a conclusion that She's a Foxy Lady would probably win this and win it easily, as a market odds suggest. She's a really likeable type, been sort of sparingly run by Willie Mullins in the last few months. In fact, we haven't seen her since November. Perhaps there hasn't been a race, or he's just been minding her, because she did have two or three very quick races in succession, the last of which rounded off in a listed race win at Navan, where she beat a very select field on that occasion. All the best, or some of the best listed bumper mares were in that race, and she won it quite snugly in the end, I thought. Back in the field was a horse called Kill Knocking Lady, who's franked the form since, and various others have all run well to suggest the form is totally believable. And just pure ability alone should see her through. Obviously, she hasn't jumped a hurdle in public, so you're taking that on trust. But if one man can get her to you know, perform first time over timber, it'll be Willie Mullins, of course. Ruby Walsh, no better man in the plate. So it's a boring selection, and probably, you know, a lot of people pass this over, but if you're looking for a horse to put in your short price doubles and trebles today, then Susie Foxy Lady shouldn't give you too much anxiety.
Okay, she's a Foxy Lady then in the 4.35. On to the 5.05, the penultimate race this afternoon, and this is a Lady Riders handicap hurdle over 2 miles, and two of the best Lady Riders are dominating the market. Snowell, who is ridden by Jane Mangan, is the even money favourite. Ludsdenen, who is ridden by Katie Walsh, is the 3-1 second favourite. It's then 8-1 barring those two runners, Andy. Two horses with pretty decent form and two very good lady jockeys on board.
Yeah, again, another race where betting is dominated by the usual variables in these races, i.e. good jockeys and two informed horses. The rest of them have got to find plenty in what we know of late. Snowwell's been a bit of a revelation since finishing third at Fairy House and then obviously winning the other day at Clonmel in particularly slow time. That's my only slight reservation about that form. It was the slowest time in the card, so I'm not absolutely wholeheartedly in love with the form. Whereas the second favourite, Ludsdenen, does actually have a course and distance win against his name, and I do think it's vitally important in this race. Course form, particularly at Thurley, is very much a specialist track. Heavy ground, absolutely ideal, and you can pretty much forget Philip Rothwell's 9-year-old's run last time out at Nace, because that horse absolutely detests Nace. In fact, its two previous visits to Nace, it had beaten one horse home, so it wasn't a great surprise that it got turned over the other day, even though it was sent off 3-1 second favourite. To be fair, that was its best ever run at the track, so you could actually say it was a step up on its previous runs there. But back to Thurles, I think we're going to see this horse run a huge race here today with Katie Walsh on board. Beat a horse called Gold Not Silver, who franked the form next time out. I think that form probably just about sets a standard here, so quite surprised to see the massive chunk between them in the market. I'd be a lot shorter than they are 3-1 with Ludsdenen, and I think he represents good value here.
Okay, good stuff. And the final race is the 5.35. We finish with a mare's bumper over 2 miles, and 15 of them in the lineup for this bumper. Andy, who do you like for the lucky last?
Yeah, I quite like Whisper Rock here. I certainly think he's got the best form in the race, or she has, I beg your pardon. And of course, comes from a stable in red hot form at the moment, Philip Fenton, who supplied us with Real Steel, who won at Navan on Sunday. Of course, Dungweave and last instalment, two high profile winners prior to that. So despite the impending BHA investigation surrounding Philip Fenton, things are looking quite good with regards to his runners, and I expect Whisper Rock to certainly uphold the stable form. First run over hurdles last time out was an unlucky one, finished third, but got very badly hampered on the home turn. Actually doesn't say in the Racing Post what happened to it. It says pushed a long eighth after two out, but to my eyes the horse went for a run up the rail and got absolutely, the door slammed in his face. That's the reason why she dropped back to eighth. And then she finished very strongly to finish and never near a third. Prior to that, she'd run well in a good Limerick bumper behind Cave Hampshire, proving that she stays well and she likes these kind of conditions. So everything's set fair for a good run here from Philip Fenton's Whisper Rock in the last.
Okay, Whisper Rock in the lucky last. And let's just have a quick summary of your selections, Andy, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, not a particularly strong day at Thurles. I haven't really got what you could call a standout nap. I've got a couple of value bets on the card. I'll go with Killard Tulane Rose in the first with two good runs over course and distance last time out. Do keep your eye, however, on Rory Anna. Seems to be a bit of confidence behind that one. Rupert Lambeau in actions, Touchwood, should win the 2.35. In the 3.25, I'd have to oppose Cad Speed at his respective price and go with Trucking All Night each way. 4.05, again, another one that Willie Mullins has got a stranglehold on, seemingly with Urano. But I do like the form and the speed figure of the Pounds, courtesy of that run here when he won at Thurles two starts back. So let's go with him at a big price. She's a Foxy Lady, whatever, should give Willie Mullins a winner on the card in the 4.35. I'll go with the course and distance form of Ludsdenen in the 5.05. And in the last race, Whisper Rock looks set to give Philip Fenton another big run in that concluding bumper.
Good stuff. Thank you very much, Andy. Enjoy Thurles this afternoon, and we'll look forward to hearing from you in the studio on Friday evening for Dundalk.
Yes, I'll be in the studio for Dundalk Friday evening. Looking forward to that.
Okay, good stuff, Andy. Thank you very much.
Cheers, bud.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.